Welcome to the third hour of the Elias Macko Show. Let's move on to our story that we begin the hour with. Okay, the walls continue to collapse around Hockey Canada. Major sponsors are pulling sponsorships. We just heard about the latest one in Trudy Mason's newscast. Canadian Tire added to the list. Hockey Quebec is now withholding funds, saying the organization is not trustworthy. Politicians are having a field day, jockeying for camera time on the scandal. But Hockey Canada's interim board chair, Andrea Skinner, says the organization has become the victim of, quote, substantial misinformation and unduly cynical attacks from the media. And it is not just the media. Here's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau.
It is inconceivable that folks at Hockey Canada continue to dig in. It's not like there's something extraordinarily special about the people at Hockey Canada that means they are the only people in the country that can run an organization like this. There's lots of people who could run it, and unfortunately, the total loss of faith in that organization by everyone means that it's nonsensical that they be digging in their heels on this one. There needs to be wholesale change. They need to do it. They need to realize that if we have to create an organization, get rid of Hockey Canada and create an organization called Canada Hockey instead, people will look at doing that.
So this is the first time I heard the Prime Minister on this one, this clip, and it's unbelievable that the first thing, shouldn't the first thing we think about in society, shouldn't the first thing is the criticism unfair or not? Shouldn't that be the first thing? Before we just say, well, geez, people have lost faith, so they've got to go. Shouldn't we actually determine if the criticism is valid or not first? Let's talk to Ari Goldkind about this. Criminal lawyer, legal expert. Ari, welcome to the program.
Great to be on with you.
Okay, so much to dissect here. This story has many, many parts. Of course, it began with allegations about the 2018 hockey team, the 18-year-old hockey team in 2018, and has led to other things and the undercovering that there were a couple of funds designed to pay off victims of sexual assault abuse claims here. So, Ari, first things first, for an organization like Hockey Canada to have these types of funds, is that unusual for an organization that deals with youth? Is that something that you don't see generally? Do you know?
Well, that's the most important question that you're probably the only guy in Canadian media, Elias, who's asked it, because every interview I've done on this, and it's probably been dozens, that's the starting point, and you're the only one to ask it to me. I'm usually the one who brings it up. What they had, this fund, this reserve fund, all fully vetted through insurance companies, fully vetted through boards of directors, and here is a joke I'll make at my own expense, Elias, fully vetted by lawyers on each side of the equation. This is not only part and parcel of what major corporations do. There's nothing unusual about it. There's nothing improper about it. In fact, it's actually fiscally responsible if we really want to get into the truth of it. And it is an absolute disgrace that politicians who cannot solve crime, cannot solve inflation, cannot solve housing prices, cannot solve oil, energy, and grocery prices, pick this low-hanging fruit to be sanctimonious about. And when I listen to our dear leader pontificate about things he knows nothing about, and I'm not tribal or partisan, I compliment him when he deserves to be complimented. On this issue, if he says jump, the correct answer should be how low should we duck? This is absolutely not a scandal. It never was. There's never been evidence of a scandal. And here's the thing, Elias. Scandal involves something happening in secret or surreptitiously or improperly. Nothing here has happened that way other than a really juicy media narrative, gaslit almost in a way, or energized by politicians who know nothing about nothing, jumping on this bandwagon to score very, very cheap political points.
So let me ask you this question. If an organization like Hockey Canada did not have funds like this, and then they get hit with, you know, whether it's a sexual abuse claim from a minor or a situation where you have a woman alleging a situation with hockey players at a banquet, if they didn't have funds for these types of situations, would that actually be a more egregious example of mismanagement?
Well, you've answered your own very, very astute question. Just play out. You don't need to be sophisticated. The fact that I have a legal degree for this answer, every one of your listeners is going to be fully up to speed on this. There's no reserve fund. There's nothing in insurance. There's a lawsuit. What do you people think is going to happen to that claim? There is always a reserve fund set aside for everything for responsible corporations or entities, always. And by the way, let me put my defense lawyer hat on for a minute. Okay, Elias, it's important to this story. The idea that because they're claims or because they're paid out means men are guilty, or to use the term in broad reporting yesterday, Hockey Canada has paid for gang rapists. That's the quote, Elias. It's in one of the articles posted yesterday about this. This is an insult to intelligence. We are living in the Me Too era. We're seeing it today in Jacob Hogard, where the importance of money to these kinds of claims cannot be extricated from the situation. Nobody's being charged criminally. Nobody's being found guilty criminally. There are often claims, whether they be slipper falls on banana peels, somebody falls on a piece of ice at the arena. I mean, the irony of that should not be lost on any hockey fan. There are always going to be contingencies and reserve funds. And simply because there's a business decision, as there was for this original story that originated this summer, to pay out a sum of money rather than paying hundreds of thousands of dollars in lawyers, boy, this idea, if this is a scandal, Elias, I could take up the next 2 hours on your airwaves by coming up with real scandals.
So let me bring this up, Ari, because Andrea Skinner, mm-hmm. the interim board chair, boy, she was fighting back a lot of the claims.
A lawyer by training, your listeners should know.
Oh, that's interesting to note. So she's fighting back hard here, and she's asked, you know, about other claims. And she'd mentioned yesterday that, you know, for Hockey Canada, they actually do have to, like, settle instances like this, or they get accusations around one or two times a year. The last 5-6 years, she said they deal with around one or two types of cases in this type of vein a year. Okay. The question I have for you, and maybe, you know, with your interactions with the criminal justice system, to me, you know, if it does actually, if there's statistics, if there's data that within Hockey Canada, the coaches, the trainers, the players, that there is statistically in Hockey Canada culture, there are more allegations and there are more arrests and other types of these things that happen within Hockey Canada than the rest of general society. Boy, let's examine this, right? Then we'd have a problem. Do we have any indication that Hockey Canada is actually, you know what, there's something happening here, that there's something about Hockey Canada and its culture that is leading to more instances than we would see at any other big corporation and any other large organization in this country?
It's probably the opposite. I mean, you might look at Gymnastics Canada, which may have some explaining to do, which nobody ever talks about. Not that I'm saying, you know, apples and oranges or apples and apples, but no. And I believe the number, Elias, takes us back to 1989. And I believe the number is $8 or $9 million that's been paid out in whatever 1989 to today is. I don't know. I'm not good at math. That's why I'm a lawyer.
Over 30 years. Yeah, 33 years.
Yeah, 33 years. So your question again, I mean, you're the only one asking astute questions, which is, look, if Hockey Canada, more than, for example, Amazon or the NHL, the NBA, the NFL, Snowboarders International out of Vancouver, had some systemic epidemic problem. Again, let me do the Seinfeld, not that there's anything wrong with that addendum. No amount of sexual assault is acceptable. Any sexual assault is an egregious violation of who we are as Canadians. That's understood. But again, when you have the bulk of that settlement, Elias, and people should Google this when I'm done my answer, Graham James, he's the coach that violated so many young people so many years ago, and that was a huge issue of payout. You do not, by any stretch of the imagination, have any indication, to use a woke term du jour, that there is an overrepresentation of sexual assault violators or gang rapists, and I use that term very, very inaccurately, in the ranks of Hockey Canada, the young men, the teammates, the players, than any other area of society, probably even in high schools. Elias, I'm a defense lawyer. If I pointed you to two or three high schools in Toronto, I could tell you there's probably five active actual rape cases going a month. So to answer your question, which is why this story just causes me real indignation as to what our politicians do. By the way, on both sides of the aisle, Elias.
Oh, the conservatives are all over this too.
That's my point, yeah. Elias. I call it as I see it, okay? This is just the lowest hanging fruit when people can't solve the real problems in Canada, of which there are myriad, and we don't have another minute for me to go into because you probably have a commercial to go to.
I got to go, but I'll leave you with this, Ari. You know, one of the reasons why I'm talking about this in this way, my New Year's resolution was less reading Twitter, and I'm going to read more books instead. I've been successful. Well, I've probably converted like 20% of my Twitter time into book time.
I'll tell you this quickly in 30 seconds. I actually used the library. I went out. I took 6 books yesterday, all current nonfiction. I want to get through them, but Twitter and anti-social media has ruined our attention spans, and that would be a significant segment because it's making all of us worse and making us worse people. I don't care who hates me for saying it. I'm used to it.
The last book I read is called The Madness of Crowds. It's by Douglas Murray.
He's wonderful.
And let me tell you something. I read that book, and this is the last book I read. So this story, I'm saying this is what's happening. We have a madness of crowds thing happening where we're losing all context. Context doesn't matter.
Elias, people should take your book review. I'm in the middle of that book too. If we were on FaceTime or video, I would show you it sitting behind me. Your listeners should actually find that book. It's the best use of a couple days they will spend. They will understand so much more about the way our world currently works.
I'm late for traffic. Ari, take care.
Thank you, Elias.